Canceling plans because your knees hurt? Nope, not anymore. Get to Joint Relief Institute. Safe, fast, immediate pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
Maz Jobrani is an Iranian-born American comedian who suspects you suspect he's a terrorist. He's not. He's funny instead. So funny, in fact, that the King of Jordan sometimes calls to check in. Maz, welcome.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me, man.
The name of the book, I'm Not a Terrorist, But I've Played One on TV. You opened the book with the title, sort of, right? Where you're talking about working in a Chuck Norris movie, and you decided you weren't going to do terror roles anymore. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so I was early in my career, and I got a part to play a terrorist in a Chuck Norris movie. This was before September 11th. And I always say, like, in Hollywood, when they find out you're of Middle Eastern descent, you know, the kind of parts that you get, they go, you know, can you say, I would kill you in the name of Allah? And you're like, I could, but what if I played the doctor in this movie? And they go, great, and then you can hijack the hospital. So that was kind of a part I got. I got a part to play a terrorist who was going to blow up a building in Chicago, actually. And he was an Afghan terrorist. And I thought to myself, okay, I will take this part. This was early in my career.
Right.
So I'll take the part, and I said, you know, I'll just, like, you know, show through my acting why this guy is doing what he's doing.
Give him a little body to it.
Little body to it. I'll be a good thespian on this one.
Right.
So I go down to Dallas where they're filming it, and I go to the wardrobe fitting, and they go, here's your shirt, here's your pants, and here's your turban. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. I go, listen, Afghans in America don't wear turbans. I go, Indian Sikhs wear turbans. You know, let's get it right. And the wardrobe lady was like, dude, this is a Chuck Norris movie. Like, what are you thinking?
You're wearing a turban.
You're wearing a turban.
So you did.
I ended up wearing a turban.
And then the movie slated to come out after September 11th.
Exactly.
You tried to, did you really try to get it to not air?
I honestly, because what happened was after September 11th, first of all, my heart was broken with what happened.
Right.
And secondly, I was worried that the movie was going to come out, people were going to see it, and people were literally shooting, like, innocent people.
Oh, right. I remember very well. Sure.
Yeah. So I thought, okay, someone's going to maybe see the movie and then forget that they saw me there and then see me out walking around and be like, that's that guy.
Didn't go very far. The movie aired.
Mm-hmm. And I sent a letter to Chuck Norris as well as Les Moonves, and nobody listened to me.
Right.
The movie aired, and it was like the worst movie ever.
So no one saw it anyway.
No one saw it. And I honestly, I was like, somebody should have shot me, not for thinking I'm terrorist, but for being in that movie. Yeah.
So then you say no more of those roles.
And I say no more.
Did it cost you money?
I'm sure it did. Yeah. I mean, first I said no more, and I ended up doing, and then 24 got in touch, the TV show 24, and they said, right, it's a terrorist. I said no. And then they go, but he changes his mind halfway through the mission. I go, ooh, the ambivalent terrorist. I go, there's something there. But then after that, I said no. And there's been several auditions that have come, my way, and I've said no to. And I'm sure it's cost me money.
But there's irony then, isn't there, Maz? Because terrorist is in the title of your book.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're sort of made up to look like you could be a terrorist.
Yeah, well, the whole joke of the cover is, like, if you look at the expression, I kind of look like I'm kind of shocked at being there, and I don't know how I ended up in this situation. And it is a mishmash. Like, I'm in the cover, I'm wearing, like, a Palestinian keffiyeh, and I'm holding this, like, bomb from, you know, from a Roadrunner cartoon or something. You
right.
Know?
So I think Benjamin Netanyahu had a model of that before the UN.
He did. You're right. That's the same one.
Right.
And what's funny is it's like, being a stand-up comedian, you're able to use a lot of your, what might be considered either failures or mistakes in life and turn those into comedy, which is what I think I've done.
Book's funny, but it's a serious idea that people look at you and think you might be a terrorist, right?
Yeah, it's not just that. It's more that I fit the profile, you know. And furthermore, it's that it got in my own head. You know, I talk in the book about, like, after September 11th, traveling and thinking I'm guilty of something, and I don't even know what. You know, I mean, we all have that feeling when you go through that metal detector. You're like, I know I'm going to beep.
Right. You know? I must be guilty of something.
I'm going to be guilty of something.
Right.
Did I pay my taxes? I don't know, you know. So this is just like, it's getting in my head of a Middle Eastern American and just dealing with life, you know, before and after 9/11.
Well, right. So the time after 9/11 eased a little bit, and now here we are in it again.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it keeps going. Like, somebody, I remember at some point, somebody was like, somebody, when I was doing stand-up, I started doing stand-up before September 11th, and someone once said, oh, you know, 9/11 really helped your career. And I was like, I was insulted by it. 'Cause I go, first of all, dude, I was doing stand-up before. And secondly, I said, I came to America when I was 6 years old, and like 2 years later, the hostage crisis happened. I've been going through this crap for 30-something years.
Right.
You know, in the fourth grade, I talk about in the book, there was a sixth grader who used to call me an effing Iranian. So I've been dealing with this for a long time. So this is just like my reality.
Well, just tell me about that sixth grader, because the story is you would call him out in your act, and then you ended up finding where he lives now?
Yeah, well, I don't find out where he lived. I wasn't that vindictive, but what happened?
Let's go, man. Let's go right now.
Let's go get this guy.
Right.
No, what happened was it was random. I was calling him out in my act because it was a bullying situation, and I would mention his name at the end of my act, and people would clap because everyone's been bullied.
Right.
And then one day I'm listening to Jimmy Fallon do an interview, and Jimmy Fallon mentions that he's married this girl who's got the same last name as the kid who bullied me. So I Google it, and it turns out that Fallon is this bully's brother-in-law now.
Really?
And I was like, what are the chances? And then I started feeling bad because I'm like, I'm sure this guy's grown up. And he's probably got a family. He's a nice guy. And I'm guessing, like, look, when we're kids, people bully each other, you know? And in the book I mentioned jokingly, I go, I'm sure if there were a North Korean kid at the school, I would have been like, let's get him, you know?
He's the one.
He's the one.
You know, a couple of things strike me with this book. And one is that reading it, I mean, I'm guilty of this. This is a flaw of mine. We tend to think of the Middle East as one place.
Yeah.
As one uniform place.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe George Bush gave you helped your career, right? The Axis of Evil tour.
Yeah.
You go over there, tour the Middle West, or the Middle East, rather.
Yeah, Middle
You're
West.
In the Middle
Very
West.
Different.
But so tell me about, I mean, did you learn about the differences in the Middle East, or did you always know?
No, absolutely. I think I learned. I mean, I grew up in America, so I'm the same as you. I think one of the problems with America is that we're so isolated. We're so far from a lot of other places. So. And the history that we learn is American history. And so in the book, I talk about, you know, every chapter is a different city. And this happened in 2007. We did the Axis of Evil comedy tour, and we came out on Comedy Central. And if you would have asked me, where do you think you'll be performing a year from now outside the U.S., I would have said England, Canada, and Australia, all the English-speaking countries.
Right.
Well, 6 months later, we get a call from some guys out of Jordan. And they go, yes, we would like for you to come do your show here in Jordan. And I go, bro, I'd love to. But, you know, it's in English. And he's like, yeah, I'm speaking English to you right now, you idiot. And it was an eye-opener, Steve. I was like, whoa, you're right. I was like, there's a lot of other countries in the world that speak English. The Middle East, definitely. And I realized they know a lot more about us than we know about them.
Yeah, I travel to Europe quite a bit. I have family in Ireland. And that's certainly, I mean, I have a cousin in Ireland who knows more about the NBA than I do.
Isn't that crazy?
The King of Jordan, though, did go to a show and does call you from time to time, or has called you.
Well, he called me a King of Jordan. So that was what was interesting. We went from, so we were doing this around 2007 during the Bush administration, and I feel like there was an audience waiting for us. Because, you know, there was so much happening with people from that part of the world that when comedians that had that background started talking, it wasn't just Middle Easterners, but it was, you know, Americans in America that were like, oh, wow, a different point of view.
Right, right.
And when we flew to the Middle East to do a 5-country tour, I feel like we turned into the Beatles over the Atlantic. Because we landed and we were having press conferences. And these people in these countries, like you were saying, the king came to our show in Jordan. We had sold-out shows in Lebanon, Egypt, Kuwait. It was amazing. And it was like the reception we were getting was amazing. And these people were laughing like at our regular jokes. And it was kind of like what you were saying. Like, I had no idea what to expect. But here I am doing a joke that I've done, let's say, in Cleveland. And it's killing in Beirut.
Right. And as an American, I'm thinking, my God, he can't do that there.
And
I couldn't be more wrong.
Yeah, it was amazing. And that's what I'm saying. That's what the eye-opener is. And that's what I've gone back now in the past 7-8 years. We stopped touring as Axis of Evil. I had my own specials. One was called Brown and Friendly, and another one was called I Come in Peace. And I've taken these shows there several times. And what's amazing is that there's been a growth in the comedy scene. Now there's a lot of local comics doing stand-up there. And secondly, most of the people that I meet in these places are good people.
Right.
Like, I've been going back and forth 7-8 years. I've never met a terrorist, never met anyone who talks about, you know, bringing down America or anything. Most of the people I go to love American culture, and it's been a very big eye-opener.
Dubai, Lebanon, Jordan, not Iran yet.
Not Iran.
Do you think that might happen one day?
It's a tricky one for me, because being from Iran and doing jokes about the leadership of Iran, you know, when Bush was in office, Ahmadinejad was in office as well. So for me, they were like, it was like back and forth. It was the same guy. And having done jokes about the leadership, I think if I were to go back to Iran, I would get in trouble. So Iran would have to happen a day when, you know, there's actually a regime change.
Well, I was going to say that, so you're not going to change, but will Iran change?
I hope so. I personally feel like the approach we're taking right now with the nuclear negotiations and stuff, I think it's actually a good step. I think that the change in Iran has to come from within Iran. I'm hoping for more of an evolution than a revolution, in that, you know, revolutions are bloody, and I would hate to see lives lost again. But I would hope that – I personally feel that given the internet now, it's almost impossible to hold people down.
Because
kids in Saudi Arabia, kids in Iran, they're on Facebook, they're on YouTube, and they're going, wow, there's a whole world out there. And so they're pushing. And I'm hoping that the people in power realize that you can only fight it for so long.
Maaz Jobrani, the name of the book, I'm Not a Terrorist, But I've Played One, past tense. On
yes.
TV.
Yes.
It was great to talk to you.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me.